I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And so that means it's time to talk sport with our correspondent this evening, Brian Waddle, who joins us on the line now. Brian, g'day. You've been watching some golf.
Oh, yes. It's been a wonderful weekend that I've been able to watch my favourite golf tournament, the TPC Sawgrass. Firstly, the guy who won it is a golfer I really like watching. He's so balanced and even tempered on the course. Scottie Scheffler, I'm talking about, number one in the world. You know, he doesn't show his emotions like some of the others to any great degree. And he played a final round of actually round and a half of great golf to take the lead midway through the final round and to perform in that environment. I don't know if you watched it. I've been watching this tournament since 2002 when a New Zealander, Craig Burks, won the event. And he won it because he carded a birdie on the 17th, the Island Green. Right. That is the most scary green or hole in the whole of golf. I would never hit that green. All my balls are magnetized to water. If there was a big prize, $1 million prize, to see how many balls you could put in the water, I'd make it. So I feel sorry for those who put in the water because I'm good at that. I could probably, I think the other one that I think of is the 12th at Augusta, Rays Creek, that short par three that they play. But it's just amazing to watch them play that green. And Craig Perks did it. He won. And the incredible thing about it, we're talking 22 years ago, Craig Perks won that and won $1 million US. Scottie Scheffler won the 50th version, the first man to win back-to-back titles, and he won $4.5 million out of a prize purse of 25. It shows what happens in the game of golf. Jack Nicklaus won the first event, got $50,000. Oh. How did he become rich?
Honestly. And golf is a really fascinating game, golf, isn't it? Especially on the last day when there's everything to play for, because it's at that stage it's all about pressure and nerve, and there is nothing more fascinating than seeing how humans, highly skilled humans in particular, behave when they are under crushing pressure.
I don't think we really understand pressure until we think of the pressure that these guys are under. And the money, we're all under pressure of some kind, aren't we? And they handle themselves well. I think the pressure shows through, and you think about it in a lot of other sports, by making mistakes. You know, the concentration lapses just a fraction. And, you know, under the pressure of playing for $4.5 million, some of those likely contestants, I mean, there was one shot between four players. That's how close it was. And the player who could have taken the tournament to a playoff actually had the ball in the hole to square it, and it came out. I mean, what would that do to you? You know, you've just seen a chance of $4.5 million go down the road. Mm. The ball went in and came out. That sounds like me putting.
Yeah, I hear you, Brian.
Incredible.
I think you're a lot better at golf than I am, but I still hear you. All right, elsewhere.
I wish I was.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit of cricket. And, what a time to be Sophie Devine, eh?
Yeah, there's good money there for Sophie Devine, who has been part of the winning side, the Royal Challengers Bangalore at the Women's Premier League. Now, this is the women's version of the highly played for Indian Premier League, and she was one of two New Zealanders in it. Amelia Kerr was the other one. Her side was knocked out in a elimination playoff. But there's good money going the way of Sophie Devine. I'm sort of drawn between the two events. I think it's wonderful that two of our players, two of arguably the best players going around the women's game, have a chance to win money and increase their earnings in this sort of competition. But I'm sort of lost too that they're going to miss games playing for New Zealand at a time when the women's game is developing, it's become professional, and our women's team is not performing to the extent that we should be, that two of our best players are missing those games. Okay, it gives opportunities for others to come to the forefront. But really, you know, I mean, it's the same issue with the golf and Scottie Scheffler. You know, when you want players to perform, you want your best players out in front doing the business. And to have the two best cricketers in New Zealand missing a competition against an England side that's playing pretty well at the moment and have done so in warm-up games, I have a bit of a problem with that personally. I'm involved in cricket administration and I see a lot of the development going on in the game. And I would like to see the younger developing players learning by playing alongside and against our best women. And Sophie Devine and Amelia Kerr are doing that. You know, I'm probably being a stick in the mud there saying, well, they deserve the right to earn the big money. But first of all, their contracts come with New Zealand cricket. And I see that happening in the men's game too, that some of our players seem to be getting fitness checks so that they're fit enough to play in the Indian Premier League, not playing for New Zealand. But that's a whole new argument, which could open up a real can of worms when it comes to the availability of players for New Zealand as opposed to, you know, multi-million dollars that they can earn playing in the Premier League.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? It's I mean, it's happening. Well, it's been happening for the best part of 30 years in rugby. You know, do you chase the bucks or do you chase the badge and play for the flag? And oftentimes you can do the latter while still earning a pretty good living. It's just, it's the financial disparity that's opening up, isn't it, Brian, between if you're good enough to for an IPL team to fork out for you, then you are earning life-changing money compared to being, you know, maybe good enough for the national team but not quite at that level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I quite agree with you, and I would not want these people not to miss the chance. You know, we've got Daryl Mitchell going to play in the IPL and he's worth over $2.5 million. Good, because, you know, you've got to have a superannuation fund. Your career might not last much longer. You know, it's horrible to think you're one injury away from ending your career. But I think what the game needs to do is to have a process whereby there is a window for various events so that players, and particularly New Zealand players whose initial contracts are with New Zealand cricket, but they can't get anywhere near the money that the Indian Premier League is playing, and that they can play, all the players can then play for their countries. But there's so many of these short form leagues, of which I'm not one of the fans, I have to say. I think people who know me know that I'm a traditionalist and a Test cricket fan, and that the T20 doesn't sit well with me. But, you know, again, it gets down to the money. And you're right, Emil, the world of sport is overtaken by money and what can be seen on television.
Let's talk about the track now. And some Kiwi runners, you know, the National Track and Field Championships, obviously, over the weekend, and some Kiwi runners really pulling up some trees. James Preston setting the second fastest 800-metre time ever run by a New Zealander, just behind the legendary Sir Peter Snell. And Zoe Hobbs capturing her 800-metre title, pushing that 11-second barrier now. We've got some real live-wire athletes on the track now, Brian.
Oh, look, there's an array of them, and they're potential medalists at the Olympic Games. James Preston is a name that's probably not well known, but he's the second fastest behind, as you say, Peter Snell. He's overtaken the time that John Walker ran 800 in. Recently, I think he set the indoor record in Glasgow.
You're right.
And he won the 800 at the national championships and won it quite comfortably. Mm. You know, there was an element of the the John Walker in him, being able to run from the back and really mowing down his opponents. I feel bad, actually, because I spent the weekend concentrating on golf, and here were the National Athletic Championships in Wellington, my hometown, not far away, and I could have watched some of these because I am in awe of what these people are doing. Zoe Hobbs, to me, is a remarkable runner. She's competing with the best in the world at the moment, and she's a potential winner. We've got Eliza McCartney, Walsh and Gill, and I think there was a third name coming up in the shot put, throwing over 20 metres. Their performances are, absolutely dynamic. Sam Tanner, names that we probably don't hear a lot of, ran the 1,500 metres. But, they've been plying their trade. And once again, they can do well out of the competition by going overseas rather than running here in New Zealand. There are no track meets that really generate good revenue. But these people, what they're doing at the moment, it doesn't mean they're going to get medals, but they certainly are potentials for winning medals. And boy, that's I've forgotten the name of the other guy, the high jumper.
I know who you're talking about.
He too is, he too is a remarkable athlete. He won an indoor record tournament recently.
Hamish Kerr. Hamish Kerr is who we're talking about.
That's the guy. Yeah. Hamish Kerr. Yep. And we've got these people who are preparing for the games in France. So, wonderful.
I don't blame you, though, Brian, because, and I can't believe that we didn't talk about this earlier, but, of course, in watching the golf, you would have watched Ryan Fox get a hole-in-one.
Well, I didn't, actually. I had to watch the replay. It was just a little bit early for me to be watching. It's nice to be able to get up in the morning or sometimes just sit in bed and watch for an hour or so. Yeah. But I was watching a replay. I mean, this did happen just a little bit earlier than I get out of bed. But I was delighted for him. He didn't quite follow it through in terms of his performance. He missed the cut. But, he is embarking on, the most competitive circuit there is, without, of course, the LIV golfers who have their own set circuit. Mm. But, Ryan Fox carries the can for New Zealand, and we've got a number of young players, Daniel Hillier, Gabori from Christchurch, who's winning the competitions in Australia. This great golfers coming to the forefront for New Zealand. I think we've got three of them in the British Open in June. So, the Open Championship, not the British Open. It's just the Open Championship. So we must get that correct.
And Brian, just finally tonight, the Warriors' gut-wrenching loss in the last seconds of the match against the Melbourne Storm over the weekend. But it's as heartbreaking as you can get. But the try that sunk us at the death, boy, you can't do much but stand back and admire that, can you?
Well, that's the sort of thing too that Dylan Martini Zalesniak is doing, I can't believe that these players think in those terms. Yeah, you want to duck the ball down. But, I mean, that guy was in line for the high jump world record to do that, wasn't he? Is there not an element of danger there? Are they not saying that's too dangerous, we count that out? I mean, he was jumping higher than I've seen anybody jump. It was quite sparkling, wasn't it? And it just sort of set me thinking, the Warriors of old, that would have happened to them so many times. Mm-hmm. The Warriors that came to light last year, they were able to win in those circumstances and hold on. This time they were pipped at the post. But it's spectacular stuff to see that. I'm in awe of them as well. You wouldn't try it, would you?
Mate, honestly, the athleticism of those rugby league players just absolutely blows my mind. Just that, as you say, It's the idea that it occurs to them as they are mid-air, 2 metres off the ground, to twist their bodies in that way. And these guys are like 6'4". Mm. They can run 100 metres in 11 seconds. They're 110 kilos. It's just absolutely staggering how much rugby league has developed in my eyes.
Yeah, they're conditioned for it now, though, of course, in terms of the programs that they go through. And it's not just a league. You know, you see the same in rugby. You watch some of the athleticism in American football, those sorts of things. I mean, it is quite incredible. I wouldn't have even considered doing that. I would have run into the guy who was going to tackle me and force him to bundle me over the touchline in the days when I was playing a contact sport like that. They're just miraculous the way they do it. Wonderful to watch.
It's still not over for you, Brian. You know, we'll give it a go some other time.
I think I'd probably just be struggling to get to the line now.
Not if I was defending you, wouldn't. All right, Brian Waddle, lovely chatting to you as it always is. Thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thanks, Emil.
That's our sports correspondent, Brian Waddle, there.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.